The One by Lillian DeWaters, Chapter 6, Demonstration. The crooked shall be made straight, for they are straight already. The sick shall be healed, for before they call, they are answered already. Those who ask shall receive, for no one can ask for any good thing which is not at hand already. It is asked, where does illusion end and reality begin? All beliefs involving rightness and wrongness, goodness and badness, comparisons and opposites, are unreal. When healing is revealed to us as being present, it seems that the illness ends and the reality appears. But the reality was there all the time, even when the illusion of disease seemed to be present. Right in the midst of the greatest problem is that problem's annihilation, is that problem's extinction, is that problem's non-existence. Right in the place where illusion holds the sway is truth, victorious, alone, supreme, mighty, all. Harmony, beauty, love, unspoilable, unchangeable, and immortal goodness, life, and intelligence constitute perfect man, the God-being. Eternal man is never in a mortal world, never in a world of illusion, but is always at the standpoint of understanding, always knowing the allness of truth and the nothingness of a so-called material or dream world, and always experiencing that understanding. The perfect universe is the expression of divine mind and divine ideas. Anything that we see in this world which shows forth beauty and harmony and delivers joy and satisfaction has its substance in truth and is forever existent, is forever life expressed as life. But anything in this world that is not good and lovely, we may be sure, has no life, no reality, no substance back of it, and is so is purely delusion, deception, purely non-existent. Everything that is real and true, that is good and desirable, is what is called in the Bible the creation of God, and is not a mental or dream creation, but is the actual true universe. This creation of God is not originated, but is the eternal identity of spirit. It is not the way one looks at a thing that makes it the way it is, for the way it is immovable. One may dream at night of using a telephone, for instance, may take the instrument in his hand to use it, and to him it may seem broken or out of order, yet he is not actually using the instrument, but is using only a symbol of it, using his belief of it. For the actual telephone does not exist in the dream world in which he is in belief, but exists in this world. Likewise, when we look at trees and flowers, sun, stars, and ocean in this world, if we see falling leaves and dying flowers, if we see an ocean that tortures and kills, we may be sure that we are not seeing life face to face, but we are seeing as if in a dream, as if through a mist or veil. We are not seeing the ocean as it actually is in the perfect world, but we are seeing a symbol of this ocean as in a dream. We are seeing our belief of it. The beauty and joy of the ocean, flowers and trees are real and true, but the changing, the hurting, the discordant conditions that we seem to see are not true, but are altogether deception, illusion. When one feels that he is seeing sickness, sorrow, accident, or trouble, let him take his vision away from the deception, from the picture of evil, and turn directly to the true world, the world of reality. And with love and devotion, with quickening spirit, let him declare what is true in the world of reality, what he knows exists in the spiritual world. Then, when he turns his vision again to this world, the deception has gone, the trouble has vanished, and there before him is the act of truth. In order to bring before your vision in this world any harmony that you desire, you must first of all understand that such action, such harmony, has already taken place in the true world. For instance, there may not be houses and offices, cars and clothing in heaven, yet all such things symbolize or dramatize abundance, joy, satisfaction in the spiritual world. And because of the reality of joy and peace in heaven, it is right that we have delivered to us in this seeming world their perfect symbols. When you wish health instead of sickness, you do not have to move the sickness out of the mind or body. You do not have to do anything at all about it. The same as in the morning when you have been dreaming the night before of traveling in an aeroplane. You do not find this plane in your room when you waken, do you? You do not have to have the plane extracted from your mind, nor from the room, for it has never been present and is wholly imaginary. Its coming, its going, is the very same as nothing at all. Is this not true? There must come for us that experience which Jesus mentioned as being in this world, apparently yet not being of this world. That is, we will be seen and known in this world. We will eat and sleep and wear clothing, but at the same time, we will know in our hearts that this is drama, dream only, and therefore entirely harmless. Man in heaven is constantly feeding upon truth, the staff of life, and this reality is expressed or symbolized in the human experience as man partaking of material bread to sustain his physical existence. Now, if man in the human experience, suffering because of certain foods he has eaten, will turn to the spiritual world of spiritual ideas and know that in reality man is forever sustained by truth, true ideas of which vegetables, bread, etc. are but symbols, and if he will believe the promise, none of these symbols in a drama world can harm you, for there is no harm in them. He will find his suffering gone, for he has had a glimpse of heaven. In the final analysis, we do not have to leave this earth, for we are not really in it. We are therefore not to leave earth for heaven, as has been the popular belief for ages past, but we are to understand the word, "Thy kingdom come on earth." The kingdom of truth is to be recognized as here on earth. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. The earth of birth, change, sickness, sin, and death shall disappear in belief, and instead shall be seen and known the heaven which is here, actually at hand, and in which we are now actually living. While we are still on earth in belief, there will come for us the illumination that we are in the kingdom of heaven. The practice of healing is not an art, nor is healing dependent upon one's spirituality. There is nothing to be done by one to cause him to be more spiritual. One does not have to do anything to be what he is. But man is to see the nothingness of personality, personal goodness, or personal badness, and is to see himself as he is. Man is not to be delivered by any means or methods, but man is to be delivered by truth. The external and the internal means are not sufficient to bring emancipation on earth. There are no means needed to help man, so man should not look for a method of deliverance. Only that which is can deliver man. Such is the message of truth. Now, students will wander from one teacher to another teacher, from one book to another book, until they reach that teacher or that book which satisfies them, which strips the scales from their eyes. Then they continue to study for the joy of it and to feed upon the bread of life. We are not asked to bring about our glory and our perfection. We are asked only to acknowledge it. We are not asked to destroy evil, but to perceive that nothing shall by any means hurt you. True instruction is simple. When one finds that instruction is labor, he may be sure that it is not true instruction. What are the demands of truth? Does it ask you to be educated in college? Does it require that one dress or eat or pray after a certain fashion? No. Truth demands our love, our faith, our belief only. Neither medicine nor metaphysics nor even death can achieve the end of matter, the end of evil. Truth is the only deliverer. The end of any deception is the perception of its nothingness. It is not a matter of education or evolution. It is not a matter of rolling up one's sleeves for an attack, for strife and warfare. Rather, is it stillness? It is not mental energy, nor vigorous denial, nor strenuous affirmation. Rather, is it insight that delivers the end of the physical body, the end of evil, the end of a material world? Healing takes place when one has the insight to understand that there is nothing to be done. It is not a question of using truth, for truth cannot be used. Mental acrobatics, realizations, are steps on the way, but they are not the goal. It is said that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Even this authority can be set aside, transcended, for the shortest distance from man to truth is for man to be truth. There is no distance between man and perfection, between man and reality, between man and truth. Treatment, the highest practice, is recognition that there is no distance, no change, no time, no space in omnipresence. The message of the kingdom is not how to have, but it is the study of reality, present. True instruction removes from one the belief that power is in the body, that power is in the thought, removes from one the belief that he is not perfect now in body as well as in consciousness. God made man in his image. Body, therefore, is not flesh, but is the expression or likeness of truth. Body is self manifested. The treatment is: I acknowledge the one presence, the one power, the one being. I acknowledge that I live in love, in the faith, in the heart, in the glory of truth. I acknowledge the nothingness of mistakes, of past failures, of ignorance, of dreams. I acknowledge the mind of Jesus Christ ever present. I acknowledge that there is no separation, no departure from truth, no return to harmony. There is no bondage and there is no escape. There is only the one being, the being of changeless love and glory. Now, healing power operates upon that which is already nothing, for of course it is plainly seen that truth could not operate upon that which is perfect. We sometimes hear one voicing something like the following: I know that sickness is false, and I understand truth clearly enough for the body to manifest it. Let it be perceived that the rope that may appear as a snake can never be less than the rope, and one would not say, and the rope must manifest it. Truth is as true and is ever present in manifestation as in spirit. The character, man, including the body, is as perfect as God. It is not a process of manifesting, it is manifested. There is coming a time when man will give no attention to the changing and the rebuilding of his body, but he will know himself as he is. Attainment is a dream, for it is neither low today nor low tomorrow, but it is stand ye still and see. The charm about right instruction is that it comes to one as drinking from a fountain that satisfies, as walking in green pastures amidst exquisite love and peace. Healing under true instruction is not a matter of sitting in any certain position of body, nor breathing in any particular fashion, nor praying with any special phraseology. Yet such methods may seem to help one in his journey from earth to heaven, which is really no journey at all. The treatment which delivers truth, which delivers harmony, freedom, is that treatment which stands upon nothing, but leaps out of one unawares. There is a power in man that acts not because of man's thinking, but in spite of it. It is insight. It is the act of truth. Gradually, this truth will reach over this whole earth. That man is like God, that he cannot be sick, that he cannot be sinful, that he cannot die. Then shall we begin to see the real man as he is, and the dream of matter, mind, and personality shall be forever past. Often, when giving treatments, it seems that the truth responds to one person more than it does to another. Why is it that one can declare the truth and have a demonstration instantly at hand, while another may declare the same thing, the same ideas, and there will be no proof, no demonstration at hand? Is it not the word of truth quick and mighty? Is it not the truth impartial, looking upon one the same as upon another? Now all of us have heard of wonderful demonstrations being made following such simple declarations as God is love or God is omnipresent. Yet one might repeat these very words when in trouble, and they would bring about no help at all. Why is this? If truth is changeless, and if the self of one is the self of all, then why are not results the same in all instances when words of truth are expressed? Let one who has faith, belief, or understanding speak the word, and let his eyes be closed to externals, closed to that untrue manifestation which seems before his vision, and let him speak the word, God is the only power, or God is omnipresent, as though these words were rushing out of him like devouring flame, like some living thing, and lo, the healing takes place. Truth is fulfilled. Another, while speaking the same words, the same sentences, has his mind fixed on the external world around him. He is speaking to bring about some result. He uses the words as though they were knives to cut. He says, I will believe in truth when I see results, and when I am healed, then shall I go about to heal others. Such ignorance is like seeing truth through a veil, or like running with the feet in shackles, and such is not the living word, but is a dead formula delivering no joy, no freedom, no glory. Here, the word has been used to accomplish something, used with the notion of changing and correcting something. This one believes in time, in cause and effect. He uses the words as his words rather than as the word. He uses the words with an idea of accomplishment. When one utters right words yet places upon them his own conception, when one uses the right speech yet his vision is to the material world, the mental law, the notion of personality, his words have no life in them. When one speaks the word because it comes out of him rather than comes into him, then the words are alive. Then his desire is fulfilled because such words are truth. Many are the testimonies given publicly in churches detailing one's fears, pains, and delays, and even though such testimony finally ends with a recital of deliverance, the main fact, the paramount event, should always be that one has come face to face with truth, that one has heard the voice, has walked with the presence, and the dream, the darkness, should not be described or pictured, but should quickly be dropped from the mind. There is a health, a body, a world that transcends one's highest ideas and imaginations, and is not a creation leaping from any mental activity. Lo, this health, this body, this world is prepared, it at hand, shining, white, transparent. Take away the belief that man is asleep, is dreaming, is in a delusion, is in a false world, is in a mortal body, is separate from God, and here stands man in all his wondrous glory in the measure of the fullness of Christ. Let us behold that we are neither young nor old, that we are neither asleep nor awake from sleep, that we are not in a body nor out of a body, but that we are that which is. Let us behold the One as all there is. We note that the blossoms on the trees need sun, heat, moisture, to transmute them into ripened fruit. And so it seems that teachers, books, instruction act upon the minds of individuals similarly. Students submit to rules and laws of teachers and organizations until that hour strikes for them when they perceive the oneness of being and the nothingness of personality. Thereafter, man is not like unripened fruit, but he listens to sermons and to instructions for the joy of it, for the ecstasy and the glory of it. The man of insight will obey no law of teacher, church, or organization. He will not be fettered or bound. He will not be shackled by the notion of any authorization. He will have nothing imposed upon his liberty and freedom. As children finally leave dolls and toys for higher delights, so man finally feels the living fire within, delivering to him the consciousness of the nothingness of personality and the allness of the One. There is no reproach whatever to be placed upon churches, societies, sermons, teachers, for they all serve as helps on the way. But once the light breaks and bursts and the heart feels the descent of the Holy Ghost, feels the illumination stripping the veil from off the eyes, lifting the yoke from off the shoulders, therefore one is an illumined being and rejoices only in the One and admits no other. One in the light walks in a different world from one in ignorance, although they breathe the same air and walk on the same sidewalk. Man who places himself under the thoughts and ideas of another is not beholding the One Being. And man who places another beneath himself, as subservient in any way to his thoughts and ideas, has a still larger vision to express. Always bring your heart to truth. Always bring your love. Say often, I love the truth. I love everyone, for I see none separate from the One. We will come to the hour when we do not speak truth for demonstration, but speak it because we love to speak it. Does not the promise read, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore shall I deliver him? To see that healing is as much a belief as is sickness is insight, and insight is truth, knowing itself, or is self-consciousness. As man asleep is exiled from his room and his surroundings because of the ignorance of his mind, because of the cutting off of his senses, so ignorance of life, of truth, of the One and only Being causes us to be exiled from the spiritual world, not actually, but mentally. The man asleep on the couch has his watch ticking under his pillow, but he is utterly unconscious of it. His hands are resting upon the bedspread, but he feels it not. The picture on the walls, the furniture in the room are directly before his vision, yet unseen, unknown to him. Is it not this clear and compelling illustration showing us that if we can be in this so-called material world and know it not, and neither feel, see, nor hear what is directly at our elbow, we must admit the possibility of being in a heavenly world, not seeing, feeling, or being conscious of these heavenly things about us. As man is never actually in any dream at night, but is always on the couch, so man never actually lives in any material world, in any world of birth, change, and death, but is always happy and harmonious in the world that manifests truth. Now it seems to us that we arrive by learning, and that we are continually adding to our store of understanding by reading books and hearing instruction, does it not? This is not so, however, for the truth is that we are always conscious of what we know. When one believes in a delusion, he does not know it to be a delusion, does he? He must see the truth before he knows a delusion to be a delusion. Before you understand the nothingness of personality, you cannot see that all men are one being. This is why the truth makes us free. For as soon as one knows the truth, then the illusion vanishes. Let us not only know that there is truth, but let us know what this truth is. A man might die of hunger in this world, even though he had in his pocket a roll of bills, unless he knew this. Of what use would the money be in his pocket if he did not know it was there? Is it not the same with man who does not know who or what he is? Will he not go on being sick while all the time he is a changeless being? Will he not go on dying while all the time he is an immortal being? As man has estimated himself to be other than he is, he will therefore waken from this delusion, or see this delusion to be delusion when he receives truth. We read of the man wandering off from his wealthy home and eating husks, but there arrived that moment when he came to himself. And so there is always this time for us all, this time when we come to ourselves. It may be in an hour of deepest darkness. It may be in an hour of purest delight. But whatever the hour when the veil is removed, the fact remains that the kingdom of heaven is already at hand, and we are already in it. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Truth sees the good and the bad alike, sees hell and heaven the same. For truth is not double-minded, but sees oneness, sees itself and its kingdom as all there is. There is no hell in truth, and no truth in hell. There is no hell at all. There is only God. Man can think he is in hell, can think he is sick, can even think he is dead. Still, his thought cannot change or interfere with the fact that he is always experiencing the kingdom of heaven. Now, how can one who is in the kingdom know and feel and experience that kingdom? Except ye be converted, except ye be born again, except ye give up your life. Nothing that we can do, think, or say will cause us to be any place other than where we are in the kingdom. This is wonderful insight that opens to one the pearly gates of heaven. Nothing that I can do, think, or say can cause me to be other than I actually am. Act as though I were, and ye shall know I am. One says, but how can I rise and walk when I am crippled and weak? How can I eat a hearty meal when I cannot retain even a baby's diet? How can I do the things that I would love to do when my body, mind, and soul seem shackled, bound? Listen, no disease in all this world ever held or bound a man. It is belief in disease, but not disease, that binds and holds man in chains and slavery. And as long as one treats pain and disease, he is believing in it, is he not? And if he would disbelieve in it, he would come forth, he would rise and walk. How can one disbelieve in evil, sin, disease, death? By believing God's word. His word heals. But we must believe, for belief is the door, is the path. When one brings his heart, brings his love, this is belief in truth. And when one has belief in truth, then Christ is present in the midst, walking over the waves of matter, mind, and personality triumphantly. A young woman was thought to be in a very serious illness. She had not eaten nor slept for several days, and although she was an earnest truth student, her demonstration had not been made. The practitioner who was assisting her said to her at this time, "If you did not believe that you were ill, what would you be doing now?" "Oh, I should be dressing for an urgent engagement that I have tonight." "Well, since you know the truth, which is that you are in heaven now acting as it pleases you, why not act out this truth now? Why not lay aside entirely, like closing a book, the belief that you are weak and ill, and act out what you know is true in heaven?" The student saw the point, caught the vision. "I will," she cried. Somehow she managed to rise from the bed, and there were those who lovingly helped her to dress. She was seated before a mirror, and someone was arranging her hair, when it was noticed that her head drooped and fell. It was discovered that she was sound asleep. Gently, swiftly, She was undressed and carried back to bed, where she slept soundly until the following morning, when she wakened as fresh as the lark, as happy as the glorious day. When we see that we are feeding upon husks, sickness, sorrow, trouble, and we turn with our love toward that light, to those everlasting arms that ever await us, have we not found that, but when he was a great off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him? Is it not, after all, a little thing to do, only believe? Peter's heart was heavy until he felt the master's hand warmly, firmly grasping his. Then triumphantly, victoriously, he walked on the waves. Peter saw, he felt the living Savior, and it was a simple matter for him to believe. But we read in the Book of Life, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." We must have faith enough to believe in the unseen. We must feel the invisible presence, the very same as though it were visibly before us. Then it is visibly before us. Believing in the everlasting arms, we can actually feel them. Believing in the presence, in the power, in the love divine as here and now, we can actually hear the voice, feel the touch, and see the form divine.